You have been blessed by the ministry of Apostle Solomon Buckley and Fresh Wind International. Please consider supporting us by going to Cash App, $Prophet Solomon B. Again, that is $Prophet Solomon B. Also, if you would like to have a testimony, you could send us an email at freshwindinternational@gmail.com. If you would like to schedule for a personal prophetic ministry and prayer, you can also email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. God bless you. We're going to John chapter 15 today, and I'll be cross-pollinating from the Life Application Bible, and then also the New King James today. And so we have John chapter 15. And there are some things that the Lord wants to remind us from John chapter 15 today that's going to be very critical and crucial. And it says, verse 1, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear forth fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear forth more fruit. You are also clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch that cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throwing them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The fruit that we're talking about here is the heavenly vine brancher that looks for in his people. The fruit that the heavenly vine dresser looks for in his people is Christ's likeness. What do you look like? If I had a mirror before me right now, I would say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of us all? What do I really look like? Mm-hmm. When all of the cosmetic products are taken off of your face, what do you really look like? What do you look like to Christ? What do you look like to Christ as a believer? Are you walking with him? Or are you walking not with him? What do you look like? So when you want to be fruitful, look at what the word says about fruitfulness. It's either you're fruitful or you're withered. If you're fruitful, you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you're not fruitful, that means you have walked away from him and you have walked away from him. You're not walking with him, period. There are two sides of the fence. Either you're walking with Jesus, or you're not walking with Jesus. So in this parable, in this very parable, it's telling us the instruction today that Jesus is the true vine. And God is the vine dresser. So basically, God is the gardener. Remember a couple weeks ago, after I went to the Four Square Disaster Relief Training, what did I bring to us? I brought back some seeds. And those seeds you had to plant. Well, Just like I brought those seeds from the Foursquare Disaster Relief gathering that we had here in Kansas City. You can't do nothing without the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything without allowing the gardener, God, to lead you and direct you and guide you and teach you. Any person that says that they're a believer and they're not willing to go through a test, go through tests where their character is being tested, their integrity is being tested, and their fruitfulness is being tested, number one, you find out they don't belong to Him. Mm-hmm. They don't have a relationship with Him. So that's why there is always a test. How to heal a broken heart. You want to be faithful? Allow the gardener to come and crush those branches that are not bearing, those areas that are not bearing fruit. Everything that's withered, it has to go. I remember about a couple years ago, we had an ice storm here in Kansas City, if you remember that. And schools were closed for days, churches were closed. I mean, it was like every week there were churches closed, you know, for a couple weeks. Schools were closed for a couple weeks. And you know what, you guys? My front lawn had all of these branches that had fallen down. Power lines had popped because the ice was so heavy, all these things. And I remember Bishop Buckley, Bishop Buckley and I had to wait until the ice melted for us to go outside. And there was like a stack here, a stack here, a stack here, a stack here. And so Bishop Buckley was like, I'm coming over to your house and we're gonna move branches. I said, it don't work like that. I said, we gotta wait until stuff starts thawing out before we start actually moving this stuff, because we don't want, you know, we want to be safe because it's really dangerous. And it was snowing and those withered branches were pop, pop, pop. All you saw was pop, 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 pop. And I'm standing in the house and I'm decreeing with the door open. Neighbors probably think I'm crazy, probably thought I was crazy. I was like, in the name of Jesus, no withered branches fall on my property in the name of Jesus. I bind anything to popping from killing me and this little dog in this house. So in the name of Jesus, you withered branches fall all around the house, but don't fall on the house. So I'm in the house, all I hear, pop, 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 pop. And Dad was like, what is that? I said, those are the branches, the withered branches, the dead tree limbs that are popping and falling in the thing. And then I said another thing. I said, Lord, people are driving down the street. Please don't let that branch, none of those branches, hit those people's car or their houses. Hit their car or their houses or the park or anything over there. And everything just fell in my yard. Everything that was withered just fell right in my yard. And all I had to do, Bishop Buckley and I, all we had to do was put on our work gloves. And we could break it up and put it over to the side. Everything that's withered, that's not producing fruit, just like that scenario that I just gave you about Bishop Buckley and I moving these branches, putting them in stacks. Everything that doesn't bear fruit, it gets put in a stack. So if you're not walking with Jesus, guess what? How can you expect fruit out of people that don't know Him? All
right.
How can you expect fruit out of people that don't want a relationship with Him? Because if you're on the Lord's side, you're supposed to be constantly being like a sunbeam. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me to be a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for Him. He wants us to be a sunbeam.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. In every way, try to please him at home, at school, and play.
Amen.
So, Jesus wants us to be a sunbeam. How can we be a sunbeam? Asking him into our heart as Lord and Savior. Forgiving. Mm-hmm. Walking in love. Allowing him, allowing those fruit of the Spirit that we talk about in Galatians to be resident in our life. So, one of the points from here, Jesus is the vine and God is the gardener. Who cares for the branches to make fruit? The faithful branches are those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you about Mother Tootsie Roll over here in this section. I'm not asking you about Mother Cotton Candy back there with her cotton candy hat and cotton candy shoes.
Well,
but I'm asking you today, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ?
All right.
Are you walking with him? Like the songwriter said, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Yeah. Walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. That song, even though that's an old song, has a lot of meaning to
it.
Because it's talking about, I don't want to walk alone. I want to walk with the one who leads and guides me. Mm-hmm. Have you walked away from your relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe you've gone to Broadway and just stayed on Broadway. Mm. Yeah, there's all these places on Broadway, but you made the wrong turn when you went on that GPS. You made the wrong turn. And Jesus is wooing you, saying, come back, my son. Come back, my daughter.
Yeah.
And get your relationship right with me. Are you walking with him? Okay, let's go to Matthew 11, verse 25 through 30. This will be our last scripture today. Matthew 11, verse 25 through 30. And I'm going to read this out of the Life Application Bible, and then I'm going to switch back to the King James. And Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, Our Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise.
All right.
And for revealing it to little children. Yes, Father, for it pleased you to do it this way. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. Only the Father knows the Son, and the Father is known by the Son, and by those to whom the Son reveals him to him. Come to me, and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. And let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. For I give you only light burdens. We talked about a yoke, and a yoke is a heavy wooden harness that fits onto one or more oxen. It is attached to a piece of equipment the oxen are to pull. When an oxen wears a yoke, it means that the animal is going to have a long day of hard work. The heavy yoke that Jesus mentioned here can mean the burden of sin, the burden of the law, the excessive demands of the religious leaders, governmental oppression, and weariness in the search of God. Jesus frees people from all of these burdens. The rest Jesus promises is peace with God, not the end of all efforts. Mm-hmm. Wow, isn't that amazing?
Amen.
We just learned again about a yoke, and how it had to be pulled. So we're going to talk briefly about how to heal a broken heart. So we're trying to heal a broken heart. We're going to take a simple test today. And you can write this on the notes. I was asking the Lord for resources, and the Lord sent some resources my way. And so, life.church, the ones that have the Bible app, life.church, the Bible app. How many have seen the Bible app where you can read the Bible in all these different versions, and it's a Bible, and you can get it on your iPhone, you can get it on any of your smartphones and stuff. So they have a thing where they're taking people through some holistic ways that they can help themselves. And I read this, and I read this article yesterday as composing the sermon, and it was the simple burnout test. Take it and start finding relief. How to heal a broken heart is one of the things, and how to heal a broken heart is not letting everybody into your ears.
All right.
Second of all, knowing when to take, how to allow people to go so far, and just releasing a word that a lot of us don't like to hear is boundaries. 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 There's a book called Boundaries. But in the Bible, there's all kinds of boundaries in scriptures. Mm-hmm. Ten Commandments were boundaries. Mm-hmm. That there wasn't supposed to be, as Dr. Patty Amston teaches in her book on boundaries, no trespassing. They were boundaries that we're supposed to live our lives, and how actually it's a roadmap. But what religion does, what the religious mindset does, religion wants to keep you in bondage. Mm-hmm. But in the kingdom reality, every kingdom that there is in the kingdom of God, there we follow the king wherever he goes. And we only do what the king is doing, and we say what the king is saying, and we have rules of engagement in order to go into war, like Cindy Trim teaches on the rules of engagement. We have rules of engagement before we go into war, but those rules of engagement is not religious. It's not religiosity. It's to help us to understand protocol and process.
Okay.
Protocol is rules, mm-hmm. and process is how are we going to get from point A to point B to point C, point D, and point E. Mm-hmm. What religion has done is taught us rules without relationship.
All right.
In the kingdom of God, we have relationship. So there are things that I don't want to do because I'm in the kingdom of God. And I know that it violates the king's domain. Just like with the queen there in England, her passing. There was protocol even with those that are in the army that serve. Mm-hmm. They can't, if they have to fall out, they have to fall out a certain way. Mm-hmm. They can't even fall out straight. They have to fall out a certain way. And that lets everybody else know in that particular, that are part of that kingdom, know that this person needs help. Mm-hmm. But they can't even shake the royal family's hand a certain way, or they're violating a process.
Wow.
Oh, we're going to learn the burnout test today. Are you exhausted? This isn't just tired at the end of a long day. This is nearly perpetually zero energy status. Are you increasingly negative? You find something wrong with just about everything, everybody, and your constant state is pure frustration, and your temper is shorter than ever.
Well,
are you passionate? Interest fading. Nothing matters. So why try is your motto. Your job performance is slipping, and even giving the bare minimum seems to be asking a lot. Is your health declining? You got a headache or a cold that you just can't shake. You can't concentrate on anything. Your streak at the gym has come to a streaking halt. And cooking healthy food is too much of a bother. You may even be abusing a substance of some kind to numb yourself. Are you withdrawing? You want to be around people less and less, even those you care about more deeply. Social activities seem scary. Even your personal values and beliefs start to lose their importance to you. Did anybody answer yesterday? You don't have to answer. But being in constant motion doesn't mean that you're working hard and winning at life. It just may be the complete opposite. Hear this. Living at a constant, exhausting pace is unsustainable. Period. It just is. Something we will give, and the worst case is it's your health. You were not created to live this way. Take a vacation. God can use stress, busy seasons, and storm to make us better indeed. But his will is not that we live without real rest and times of refreshing. And the good news is there's hope.
Yeah.
Number one, how to heal a broken heart is seek God. We got to return back to the source. The creator of everything created you too. And he knows how you work best. Take time to what he's saying. Jesus demonstrated this in his life by taking intentional time to get away from distraction and seek his heavenly Father. Seek rest. Actually sleep. Shoot for 7 or 8 hours. Take a vacation or a staycation. Completely unplug. Put your phone by the door when you get home. Don't pick it up until you leave home the next day. Your company will survive without you for a week or two. It's true. You got to take relaxation as serious as you've been taking work. It's only for a season. Genesis 2 and 3 tells us that God rested after creating, setting for us an example of the natural rhythm our lives should move in. God rested, shouldn't you? Seek peace. The world is chaotic, that's a given. But there are ways to block out all and restore an inner unshakable peace in all situations. Try meditating on God's goodness at the beginning of each day, taking account of all the blessings that he's provided for you. Pursue a hobby that brings you joy. It brings you joy, and no, Netflix is not a hobby.
Amen.
I'll say it again. YouTube is not a hobby. Facebook is not a hobby. Twitter is not a hobby. Instagram is not a hobby. TikTok is not a hobby.
All right.
It brings joy for a reason, as those passions help us to connect to our Creator. Take a walk. Breathe deeply. Break the routine. Lastly, get organized. Clearing out the clutter removes so much of the stress by simplifying what you need to focus on. Next of all, seek help. Exercising isn't just good to burn calories. It also removes stress. I've never seen so many stressed out believers that's on their way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven to meet the Lord. And your belly is swole out this year. You can't put on your shoes. Can't put on your socks. You're wearing a beautiful dress, a beautiful suit, but yet your feet are so swole you can't even enjoy walking. Seek help. Exercising isn't just good for burning calories. It also removes stress. Your body is what gets you from A to B and helps you to contribute to the world and helps you care for your loved ones. So take care of yourself. Last point, seek others. We weren't meant to do life alone.
Amen.
Bringing others into your struggle gives you a support system to encourage you and hold you accountable. I need Minister Freeman to hold me accountable so that I don't let everybody in my circle. Because sometimes you could be vulnerable. You can be vulnerable. And if you haven't been vulnerable, just keep living. Right. You can be vulnerable. And in that vulnerable place, that is the worst place that you can be. People have gotten into relationships and it has ruined their entire life because of vulnerability. People have gotten into things that they were not made.